Hello and welcome everybody to WP Late Night episode number 9. I'm Ryan. Hey, Brad and Dre, how are you guys doing?
Hello.
Third Midland. I can't complain, and I don't know that anybody'd listen if I did, so I'm okay. How are you guys?
We won't.
Fantastic over here. Even better now that we are live and doing the show, which I enjoy.
Has it really been a week? Like, it feels like, all right, we're doing it again next week, and then bam, we're doing it again.
That's usually how it goes.
I've been saying it flies by.
Absolutely. Time flies.
Flies.
Special thanks to everybody hanging out in the chat room at wpcandy.com/stream, also WP Candy channel in Freenode. We're also on Spreecast right now, which I believe is functioning correctly, right, Brad? So all the videos up there.
Sure.
Looks good here.
And, yeah. Cool. What's new with you guys? I know, Brad, you were getting tanked earlier. you were working.
Whatever you call it. I was working. You guys watch Mad Men. You know what you have to do.
That's how it is.
How it goes.
Yeah.
I'm the smoozer. That's what I do.
Smoozer. Yeah, you're looking fabulous. Fabulous with your
look
nice
at me. I'm all, like, you know, Dre was in his Sunday's Best a couple episodes ago, so I feel like I had to step it up. I bust out the jacket. Got the nice shirt on.
You're definitely showing us up right
now. I mean, I'm not wearing any pants, but that's another story.
No, that's good. Just don't stand up.
Wait, we sometimes wear pants here?
We skipped over that part.
Shh, don't tell nobody.
But actually, I have something fun to announce. We did an event. We actually talked about it a little bit on the show with the local WordPress Philly community. We did an event at Philly Tech Week, which is a week-long event in Philly, which all about tech. There's 10 to 20 different presentations a day, different events per day from the morning till night for a week-long event. So we did a big WordPress event. It's a three-hour event, and we sold tickets, $10 a pop, and we raised $1,000 and were able to donate it to a local charity, the Nonprofit Technology Resource in Philly, which is a charity that basically people donate their old computers to, and they kind of basically fix the computers, fix them up, and then donate them to kids in schools that don't have computers so that every kid, you know, can technically have a computer. So we're really excited about that, really proud that we're able to do that. And donate to a charity that kind of related to what we were doing, which is technology, right? We're all about technology. So it was really, really exciting to kind of give back to the community. So I'm really proud of with the Philly WordPress community. So it's a big shout out to everybody that showed up and the speakers and everybody. I mean, it was an amazing event. So hats off.
That's pretty dang awesome.
Yeah, I think you just trumped my week at least right there. So,
and that's our show. Thank you.
Yeah, you got the suit and the story. Go ahead, Dre.
Start outro music. Fail.
All right.
I got nothing. I got nothing after that. I mean, how do you follow that?
You don't.
I've been geeking around with the Recurly API and CSS all week. That's all I got. I got nothing.
I know, right? Now, see, you had to go first, Brad. Now everything we say sounds lame.
Yeah, pretty much.
So thanks for that.
That's my shining star of the entire show.
Dre, I was telling Brad right before we got going that we have to up our game here because one of the things that I did in the last week and I'm doing again tomorrow is the new Roundtable podcast. I think, yes, I mentioned it last week. And it's now just whooping us in terms of being a popular show. I think it had almost double our download count last week. Now, I would credit that entirely to the awesome crew that was on last week. It was Mike McAllister, Jake Caputo, and Chris Molitor are talking about WordPress themes and theme forest stuff. And tomorrow, there's no chance that we're going to beat the download count for tomorrow because it's the BuddyPress core team. So,
wow, what a really set us up there, right?
I know, right?
No chance we'll ever win. Forget it. Throw in the towel. It's
okay, well, when you've got J-Trip, Paul Gibbs, and Boone Gorges showing up, it's a done deal. What are we going to do? What could we possibly do here to stack up against that?
You know what? How about... Well, I got nothing. Again,
I know, right?
I've been playing with the Recurly API and CSS all week.
You know, the only reason this happened, I write a blog post last week, the day after our show last week on Thursday, and we ran the stats. And at the time, WP Late Night was the most downloaded or listened to show on WP Candy. And from what we gathered, WP Candy is the only website currently producing WordPress podcasts that we know of.
Sure.
You know, active podcasts.
More podcasts per capita.
Right.
Cap, so, I like that.
And, you know, by our estimations, that makes us number one, right? So I write a big blog post, my first post in like 2 months, and now we're already lost.
Well, here we go, Brad.
I'm okay. I hope that it stays a battle between the podcasts on WP Candy. We can just stay neck and neck with them for a while.
I know those Buddy Press guys, and honestly, we'll kick their butt any day of the week. So bring it.
I've done already brung it.
All right, so we have a slew of interesting things to talk about. Before we do that, though, what is everybody drinking tonight? Brad, I suppose I should say, what did you drink tonight?
I've been drinking Captain Ginger, one of Dre's favorites, actually.
Yes, I like Captain Ginger. I had some Sunday, which was great. I'm drinking a watered-down Bud Light.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's what I had. Yeah, I'm out of Newcastle, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay. And I'm on the Irish whiskey again. Good standby.
You're hardcore.
Freaking hardcore.
So very hardcore. So I know the first thing we want to talk about and dive into is the community summit, the WordPress community summit that was announced, I think, yesterday, right?
Yes, yesterday morning.
So you guys want to dig into that?
That sounds good.
Dig right in.
Dig it.
Fire away there, Bradford.
Who's digging? Oh, I'm digging. Okay. So the WordPress.org, big announcement in the on their blog, which they don't, blog that often. When they do, it's usually a very important announcement. So the every year the core committers and some of the core contributors, the ones that really contribute quite a bit, get together and have an annual meeting. I don't know if they've always called it the Community Summit or what they've called it in the past, but I know it's happened every year, usually in the fall, I think. So they get together for a weekend or an extended weekend and kind of talk about the future of WordPress, where it's going, the current release, features they'd like to see, blah, blah, blah. So this year they've changed it up a bit. They still plan on doing that. However, they also plan on bringing in, people that, I guess, prominent members of the WordPress community is a good way of saying it, right? So basically they're asking anyone out there to kind of nominate who you think should actually be at this and who should have a voice and opinion about what's going to be discussed in the future of WordPress and this and that, whether it be an individual like Dre or Ryan or myself, or whether it be an actual company, like Shakuri or Web Dev Studios or WP Candy. So it's interesting, and I'm sure we all have our own opinions on it, but myself, I think it's hats off. Like this is what everyone's been talking about. Like, bring the people in that are, not just those. It's very easy, just even in the WordPress community, kind of getting your clicks and sticking those clicks. You know what I mean? Like, and you stay in those clicks because it's comfortable, and it's not always comfortable to go outside of the people you know and talk to people you maybe don't know as well, but might have a very valid opinion. I think this is kind of going outside of the click, which is a great move in my opinion, because it's kind of saying, all right, we know there's a lot of very influential people in the WordPress community, whether they be selling premium themes or premium plugins or free themes or free plugins or whatever it may be. There's very influential people out there. Now, what if we got all those people together that everyone really thought was kind of the top of the top and spend a weekend together or however many days or whatever, talking about WordPress? Where's it going? Where's it at? What can we do to make it better? Get everyone's opinion, not just the people building core. And they even talk about, if somebody runs a really good event, why not have them? If they're running a really awesome WordCamp, why not have them? Whether they don't have to be a programmer, they probably have really, really good ideas and they're not a programmer, So it's like, you don't have to be a developer in core to kind of bring your ideas. So, what do you guys think? I think this is an awesome idea. I was really excited when I saw this posted yesterday.
Bringing together the communities within the WordPress community to see where we can continue to grow the community. That's a mouthful of gobbledygook, but in the end, that's really what it's about, right? Let's get together to see what we can bring to the WordPress ecosystem as a whole. Let's get folks from the security world, from the development place, from the media, portion and piece of what WordPress is all about. Bring together all that thought leadership to really engage and to continue to progress what we have found as a way of life, if you will, right? I think it's brilliant. Like Brad said, hats off. Are you kidding me? Amazing that this is coming together. I'm very happy to see it. And my hat goes off to Jane and the whole crew that's spearheading putting this in front of the rest of the community. I'm very excited, and I hope that I get to sit there with you guys and some of the other folks that I know would really make a difference and impact overall here come this summer.
I'm excited any time that there's talk of, I guess, recognizing and bringing people together that don't necessarily code. Not to say that it, just because, I mean, the code is infinitely important. And those who contribute it, like, that makes WordPress. But there's also this whole other side of the community that is doing all sorts of stuff to support that. That it's just always great to see those two kind of sides of the WordPress community coming together.
I think you get a better perspective from people who don't code, you know? It's like building a feature and then letting someone test your feature that you've built as a coder that has no idea what code is, has no idea what design is, just knows how to navigate websites. You're going to get a totally different experience from that, and they're going to have totally different feedback than what you would have thought of, because we're all tech people. We know how to manage websites. But if you sit behind your parents and watch them navigate the internet, it's a whole other experience, man. I mean, hold on, because it's scary.
Well, look at the Tony Perez's of the world, where in the last couple of weeks he put out this post.
I know, right?
all this craziness ensued, and a lot of ultimately a lot of good discussion, which was exciting to see, and all the different points of view. But he's not really the programmer type, right? He's a project manager by nature. He's technologically driven. He's worked in that world for a long time. But from a project management perspective, he's been an integral part of WordCamp San Diego the last 2 years and making that a successful event. He's been around WordPress, and our business has been driven around WordPress the last couple years. I'd like to see that type of person get to mingle and to really bring up their kind of thought process around what they do and what WordPress is to them. I think that's added value to everybody. So to your point, Ryan,
I would love
agree.
To see Tony there. I think everyone out there needs to nominate Tony, because Tony is the kind of guy, he is so passionate and so motivated. He will literally punch you in the face, drag you through the sewer and the gutter, and by the time you wake up and even realize where you're at a way better place than where you started, and you don't even know how you got there. Like, that's Tony. Like, it's amazing what he can get done.
Well, and in the end, you'll have a WordPress tattoo and a big guy in a suit.
I may have a tattoo of Tony's face on your back, but it's cool.
I have just a semantics question there. Is there any way to enjoy that process without being dragged through the sewer first?
Bring a video camera, my friend.
That's the route I took, so.
Fair enough.
No, I love it. So if I could put a plea out there. So if you're listening to this show, if you like this show, if you don't like this show and you just like maybe one of us, and I'm not going to name names, but vote for all of us. We'd love to go, all three of us. We want to be there. We want to, you know what, I want to live commentate the event. I want to be on the sidelines just, you know, talking smack about what ideas are getting thrown around. And, you know, we're just live commentating a boxing match between the committers and everyone else there. So we want to be at this event. So take a couple minutes, nominate Dre, Brad, Ryan. Throw us in there. We'd love to go. I've never been to Tybee Island. I hear it's great. It'd be fun to check out in October sometime. So definitely
In particular, if Jane's Jitterbug is open by then. I'm not sure if it will be.
Oh, gosh. That'd be amazing. So I actually donated to that, so I'm very excited to see her get that moving.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. The pictures, sort of as the progress has been going, I'll link up some of the stuff that she's been posting in the show notes so people can see. It's really cool, not only because it's just a kind of a fun place that she's putting together, fun sort of,
yep,
dream of hers is how she described it, but it's also a cool project that she was able to fund at least partially because of the WordPress community supporting it. So,
Cool. And in closing that segment, if that's where we're heading, the kudos again to the community members that are driving this, Jane for getting this stuff out, and everybody else that's been involved at this point. I'm excited to see where it goes, and I know that a lot of great things are going to come for the community at large.
Indeed, indeed. So, actually, Dre, you're probably the best person to intro this next thing we want to talk about the plugin directory and updates for plugins.
Now, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Actually follows right after kind of what we were talking about last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a discussion last week about a plugin and this company or this website that's doing some spammy type stuff. There was a plugin that may or may not have been, in retrospect, I'm not sure, been in the repository at some time last year, but it was removed. I closed that whole portion or that segment around that security vulnerability that we were talking about and saying that, you know, when those things are removed, those plugins are removed from the repository, it's kind of interesting that nothing's really said, right? You know, it's removed. you go look for it, it's gone. But what about the people that are still using that plugin that have it active on their site? They may not know that they even have a security problem or vulnerability going on. How are they being notified? Is it becoming part of the problem when the core team that's behind managing the repository is not notifying folks? Well, a couple of the core team members involved with the plugin directory reached back later on in the week last week and said, look, check this out. And they started showing some samples of some of the things that they were doing. They're putting up messages on in the repository when a plugin is removed. So if you go looking for the plugin by the URL of that plugin, it'll now tell you, hey, a major security vulnerability or whatever has been discovered with this plugin. It has been removed. And they can even give you alternatives or direct download to one that is a good version. So I thought that was really exciting. But that's only one piece of it. So now what they're pushing out with that is a forced plugin update, if you will, right? So next time you log into WordPress, if you happen to have one of those vulnerable plugins installed, what they're doing is they're going to send you the update notification saying, hey, this plugin's out of date. So when you go check out the actual plugin update area and description, it'll tell you, look, we've discovered a vulnerability. This has been removed. Once you update, this is going to be stripped out of your WordPress instance. So they're not stripping it out for you. They're letting you know that, hey, an update's been put out and it's no longer being supported by the repository. The moment that you update, it's going to be gone. Once you click update, it'll leave a file basically in that plugin with that message. So that'll continue to appear on your site if you try to re-enable it, at least through my understanding. And the rest of the actual code from that plugin will be stripped. We put a post out on it. I worked very closely with Andrew Nason on some of the language in the post and some of the features and things that are going to be occurring there. I want to make sure that people understand that right now this is really more of an experimental approach to it. They want to take a look to see how it works and see if it makes sense to continue this way and adjust appropriately to ensure that they are getting that word out and doing their part to let people know when there is a problem. So that to me is very exciting to see them take that step, at least in a more formal direction. They have done stuff like this in the past, but not announcing it to the general public as maybe they could or should have.
Can we just take a little credit? I mean, I'm not saying we're the ones that came up with the idea, but we did talk about it.
Just saying.
I think it's probably half us doing our just kind of gross mumblings about things on the show, which is about half of what we do, and half. Mason actually kind of listening to the podcast, which he's kind of an anti-podcast person. So I think
you either like podcasts or you don't. I mean,
actually this just shows for him at least how important it is that he listened to the podcast. This is almost, it's almost his responsibility anymore, I think.
Well, I got
all that we do
for the reason I have, but I'll say that until someone says otherwise.
I got a message from Nason at one point. Hey, jackass, I'm listening to your podcast. So I was like, dude, I took it completely positive. I'm like, yes, you're listening in. I appreciate it. Let us know if you got any pointers. And if you want to join the show someday, let me know. We might be able to work that out.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a no-brainer for sure.
There you go.
That's cool, though. I mean, I think that's exactly what's needed. You know, there needs to be something within WordPress.org, especially the update process, that alerts people to the issues, that happen. Not everyone follows the blog. Not everyone follows Twitter. Not everyone's in tune with, the community and the news coming out. So if you're not, at the very least, hopefully that gets your attention to say, hey, there's a problem with this plugin. You need to get rid of it, upgrade, or delete it, one of the two, so...
Well, I mean, I don't know as much about security stuff as probably either of you guys do, but I would have to think that one of the biggest issues is just making people aware and just getting the word out, right?
That is usually the afterthought, right? It's like the redheaded stepchild of security is the awareness piece.
Uh-huh.
You need operations. You need all these things to actively combat, to be preventative, to clean up after the fact, the whole nine. But letting people know that there are inherent risks, that there are these potential issues they can run into – it just goes by the wayside. it's imperative to understand that although they're making their point and they're trying to see what better way they or mechanism they can implement to get that awareness out, it's everybody's responsibility. We as a security entity or as a media outlet, we need to continue to, when we see these things, get that stuff out as far as possible through our footprint to make sure that we're getting the word out as much as possible.
Word. Agreed.
Killing it. There's actually, have you guys said all you want to do on the security topic?
I need like a plus one sound effect, you know, like a plus one.
You could just really say plus one.
That's not the same.
That's not the same. You could, here you go. You could record yourself saying plus one and then just play that.
You know what I think about that?
I don't know.
Pew, pew. I heard it.
You heard it?
You and people.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Oh, well. I'm not gonna worry about that. There is another plugin related topic
I want to.
No, I didn't. I'm not hearing any of your stuff.
Well, Dre's hearing it, so
that's all that's important, really.
Is the chat room hearing my funness?
If I'm not hearing it, nobody's hearing it.
Ryan's got you muted, man. He's filtering out any noise from you.
Apparently does. Hopefully they make it through.
While I'm talking about one of our sponsors, you can troubleshoot it. How about that? Yeah, I want to thank a new sponsor this week, Typecase. This is actually a plugin from the guys at UpThemes. I'll drop a link in the chat. A really cool little plugin. Has a free and a paid version, but it basically allows you to use any of the 500-plus web fonts that Google Web Fonts provides and sort of assign them to typographical elements on your theme. So they have sort of a cool back end for doing it. Also, with the pro version, at least, gives you a front end sort of editor so you can see the updates live as you're messing with them. And I think, you know, I described it on one of the podcasts yesterday as one of those. I now think of them every time I see a plugin like this as one of the Uncle Ben plugins, because it's so powerful that you have to. What is it? Like, with great power comes great responsibility. You could absolutely just make your site look like trash with Comic Sans all over the place. But you could also do some really neat stuff. You know, there was a – I don't know if you guys ever run into this sort of stuff when you're setting up like a friend or family member with WordPress. But setting up
– That's always fun.
Yeah. Well, but you always get a question. And this, we were kind of talking about earlier. You get a question that you don't necessarily think about because we're engrossed in it all the time. And was setting somebody up with – I think it was 2011 or something, and they just kind of offhand said, "Hey, can I change this font to Georgia?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." And I'm thinking about all the ways I would do it, but I'm thinking, okay, from a user's perspective, like, what would they do to make that an easy, like, 1-2 click and change? Was that? I heard that. I think you got it worked out.
I did test it a little bit.
In this case, I mean, that story came to mind when I was reading about Typecase, because this is the exact way to accomplish that. It's nice because it's devoid from a theme, so it's not being packed into sort of an option screen, which sure. I really like. And it's a cool little project. It's by the guys over at UpThemes, and I want to thank them for supporting the podcast.
Booyah!
And for giving Brad enough time to fix his soundboard, which I am very grateful for.
Hey, that's a win-win, UpThemes. Appreciate it.
That worked out for everybody.
Yeah, no, this is cool. You know what's fun about, not only is doing this podcast obviously really fun, but almost every sponsor, not to offend any sponsors, but I hadn't heard of them. And then we're doing these sponsors. I'm like, that's really cool. Like, I'm going to make a note because we could probably use something like that with our client work and just our projects in general. So this is great. I mean, anytime you can do, you know, some web fonts, especially when it's very easy, like install plug-in, point-and-click type stuff, mm-hmm. people love that.
Absolutely.
The sponsor last week with the coming soon pages mm-hmm. contacted me and sent me a license for his plugin and said that my nice. Book was the inspiration for him to write a plugin and come out and sell with it, which is, I mean, amazing. It's so flattering when you
where's
hear
your
stuff
where's
like
your awe button? We need an awe.
My oh.
No, that's not. I don't know why I'm instigating it now.
I guess that was the wrong what. No, that's probably the wrong one. Anyways, it's very humbling and flattering when you hear stuff like that. And it's very cool that the sponsors that are coming out on the show are just it's quality stuff, quality products, and a lot of stuff I never heard of. So I'm actively taking notes so we can use this type of stuff with the.
It's awesome. And I think it just speaks to the caliber of the WordPress community and what people are making. I forgot to mention too, there is a giveaway of Typekase Pro happening on the WP Candy blog right now. So go check it out. The other, so glad those are back.
I'm back, baby.
So I don't think, so I definitely haven't written anything about it, which as Brad pointed out before the show is me slacking. But I have seen a couple examples, or there are a couple of tweaks happening to the WordPress.org plugin and profile pages this week that I think are kind of cool. The first one that I noticed, well, actually, I didn't notice it. Somebody pointed out to me is that now you have the ability to favorite plugins, and those will show up as your favorited plugins on your .org profile page, which is really cool. I'm actually, of course, you have to log in order to favorite them, just like anything else. Which I
And it has. I was playing around with it last night when I first saw it. Where does that go? I couldn't find an actual page or anything that says like Brad's favorite plugins or
it's,
is there like a
it's
public...
on the prof? Yeah, it's on the profile page. So if you go to your profile page after you favorited a plugin, in the right hand column at the bottom, it'll say you know, username's favorited plugins. It's kind of low key.
I found it. That's cool though. I mean, it's cooler saving that data. Yeah. I understand, you know, just it's like, you know, V1, get it out there, yeah. Get it functioning, get people saving stuff.
Right.
Absolutely.
V2, I would hope would put a little more emphasis on it, but that's cool. I didn't realize that was down there. So I mean, I love the feature, and I'm assuming you can favorite as many plugins as you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I can see this going really far. I mean, it's kind of like the whole Pinterest idea, and we're seeing this a lot with client projects. Like, a lot of clients want a way where you can, or just people in general want a way where you can kind of go to your website and save different aspects of your website that you like, and build kind of your own little, you know, group of things you like, whatever you want to call it. What is Pinterest called? A board or something like that?
I have no idea.
Done similar stuff for or a group or something like that. We've done similar stuff for clients where you kind of save posts, save other custom post types, save pictures, put them in this group. This is neat. So if I could save, like, imagine I save 10 plugins, and I say these are my favorite, and then give me a link where I could send to people and say, all right, this is Brad's favorite plugins, you know, my profile / favorites or something. That's really cool, and I think that would even really spread the use of it. So what are your favorite plugins? But how often do you guys get asked that? What are your top plugins? What are your favorite plugins?
All the time.
Yep. Just favorite them and be like, here, this is it. This is my list. This is my favorite. These are the ones we use for everything.
Yep.
Done, you know, done. So it's really cool to kind of have a way to aggregate all that. And I mean, I really think this is probably the first step towards that. So it's really, really neat.
There are so many plugins I have to favorite.
I mean, they're going to need paging in here really quick, man, because this
gonna
is going to get
tags.
It's going to get rowdy.
Like, favorite with tags.
I've got 12,222 favorite plugins. It's legit, son.
It would actually be easier for me to unfavorite if you could just, like, globally favorite all of them.
What's great is it shows my plugins, the ones I've developed, and then below that it shows my favorite plugins. So I'm just going to favorite all my plugins, so it'll be like same list.
It's funny,
my plugins, my favorites, it'll be like the exact same thing.
That's the first thing I did when testing it out, and then I went back and unfavorited because I thought it would look silly. To have,
I totally did that. They're like, oh, you can favorite. I went to my biggest plugin and favorited it, and I'm not taking it off of theirs.
Just wait until they give you the ability to favorite WordPress books on your profile page, and then I think we know at least a couple books that'll be there.
Yeah, well, there's only like 210 books, so it can't be that hard to pick.
I think it's over 220, actually, but yes.
The couple other changes, which I think are interesting, you guys have to remember when the plugin author was listed in the sidebar on the plugin directory page, and then they were moved down to the bottom of the page, and now they're back on the sidebar.
Well, no. So they were moved down to the bottom, then they were moved back to the top at one point after we were complaining about it, I think around episode one or two. And then they were moved back down to the bottom like a week later, and now they're in the sidebar, which is a much better place. Not only in the sidebar, but it actually says how many plugins you have.
I really like kind of how all that meta is set up right now. I mean, you know, the plugin requirements and what it's compatible to, how many downloads, but right into the average rating, your rating if you're logged in, and then where the authors is at, they're now on the right sidebar. Not only do they list the author name and link to their profile, it also lists out how many plugins they've created. Now, I don't know that that paints a perfect picture because it might have themes and, you know, interaction on the forums and so on. But at least, you know, from a plugin perspective, being it's a plugin directory, that's kind of neat. And then an awesome donate to this plugin link.
Yeah, cool, I think it's a good setup. I think the design obviously could use a bit, but I think the layout of the data, like you said, the requirements should be front and center. Compatible, last update, downloads, that should all be at the top. That's very important stuff. Ratings are very important too. So I think in the scheme of where it's all laid out, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's just more to be desired with the kind of design around it. Like, all right, there's my picture. You know, there's my fat head on the side under author. There's my name and how many plugins I've done in a donate link. That's cool, but I think you can make it a little bit more sexy. Dre can sexy it up. Come on, Dre. You're all about the sexy.
I am. I mean really, this is what cool looks like.
The problem with Dre is actually he's just constantly sexing it up. It's more about how to get him to pull back a little bit. You know,
that's why overwhelming I'm dressing sometimes. Up, because Dre, he's popping in here and some of his best with his best top hat and...
So,
sweatshirt,
yeah. What you're saying, Ryan, is I am a design nympho. This is what you're saying.
Yes.
At least it was implied, in my opinion.
Oh, that was heavily implied. That was just I just didn't have the right words for it.
Just making sure, sir.
So that's really cool stuff. And pinged Nason about some of the because he does a lot of work on the on WordPress.org. I think he and Otto are pretty much the people who do work on WordPress.org. And he said that there's some more stuff being pushed to.
That's what I noticed, all that stuff. I think I was telling you before the show there. I started seeing some of the changes, and it just happened to be on a plugin that Otto created. So I found it a bit ironic, but excuse me, very cool to see some of these changes as I was going through, and it just happened to be one of Otto's plugins. So very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Very excited to see where it goes. I do agree with you, Brad. Overall, the whole plugin director, I think, needs a an overhaul from a design and interface perspective, but I think these little steps are helpful.
Plugin like the header images are a good step in that direction too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean WordPress.com or .org itself it's a good looking website. It's very similar to WordPress dashboard, which I think is what they're
intended,
going for.
Right.
So I don't think we need a site redesign. What I would love to see, and I've kind of dropped hints to Otto and Nason and the rest. What I would love to see is almost a competition. Like, here's a display. Here's what we have to work with. Here's the data that has to be on the page. Mock it up to make it look better. You know, have a competition. I mean, you're going to have some awesome submissions that could take what you have there and completely change it to where it's 10 times better and have the exact same information in a better way, better, you know, have a competition. Competitions are fun. People want to be involved. Give them, you know, shout out to whoever
aside
wins.
From getting
whatever.
Into the aside from getting into the icky spec work area,
that's
then,
where I was at with it. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I think that
that's where it gets scary.
I'm not a designer, so I'm just spitballing here. I don't even know what that means. But
oh, okay,
you know.
Well, I don't want to school you here. I mean, I'm not a designer either. I guess.
please school me. I like being schooled.
No, spec work is just the process of kind of requesting work before being paid. So people say, hey, we're going to do a logo redesign contest.
And I don't think it's like, you know, spend 10,000 hours working on this. It's almost like, all right, remember they had the competition for the icons for WordPress? I think it was 2.7, wasn't it?
I don't even remember.
They did
that.
The big redesign. Maybe it was 2.8. Yeah. It was when they big redesign. All right. Contest for the icons. That's what they did. Not saying like, you know, spend 50 hours on this, but, you know, if you have a couple hours, you have some skills, you know, throw it at it. And we'll give you a shout out and you'll get a lot of recognition for doing it.
I think I like it, except it should be maybe kind of tweaked and made into one of like the make.wordpress.org project sites, you know, to kind of brainstorm. If it's changed so it's seen as like contributed, you know, hours to the project as people kind of with ideas for .org, I think then it could be cool. But you definitely want to avoid the spec work angle of that.
Okay, if I may. There's another one of Brad's ideas going. Bam! Sorry, I'm a developer. I don't know design, so.
It's fair enough. One thing I'd like to see more, and this is just sort of my preference, I don't know whether it would be, you know, the forum discussions that are related to a plugin being like one of the tabs, you know, on a plugin page, but it feels like, you know, I'd say 50% of the time I'm going to a plugin page on .org, I'm going also to see what the forum discussions around it are. And Actually, I think it's only on the description page right now that actually displays that list of forum discussions. So if you're on like the change log or the stats page or something, I don't think it displays the list. So that's one thing that I'd like to see more prominent as well. But yeah.
Do it.
WP App Store launched yesterday.
Yes, it did.
And we talked about that, I think, in our first or second episode, didn't we? I think our second episode we talked about the WP.
Well, I think in the first or second episode we brought up, more of a theory around it that, if it's not in the works already, this is probably something that's going to happen in the near future, and something that, if done correctly, can gain traction very quickly and benefit a lot of folks. And then I believe last week we went into speaking about, or maybe a couple episodes ago, about this specific project pre-launch and some of the discussion around it and so on.
Right. So it's up. It kind of soft launched yesterday. People started talking about it on Twitter. It works. I see, Brad, you're unable to connect to it right now.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm on multi-site, so I have to go through the network dashboard, so maybe it's related to that. I don't know.
I see. I was just going to pull it up since I saw you were having trouble with it and see if it connected.
The idea is awesome, and not only is it an awesome idea, but they have, like, the names behind it. If you look at the list of companies that are going to be basically selling products through the service, it's a who's who of WordPress premium products. It's basically everyone. And if you're not on this list, you probably should be. I even saw Gravity Forms will be selling through this, and Gravity Forms is, in my opinion, I think probably easily the number one premium plugin out there. I don't know anyone that's, and I know other really good premium plugins, but I don't think any are as big as Gravity Forms right now.
So one thing I noticed, beyond the names that you have there on the about page, it obviously talks about the other Brad, not the world famous Brad Willems from Web Dev Studios, webdevstudios.com. And we're talking about the founder here at WP App Store, but it also listed out three advisors. Now that's changed a little bit. You'll notice that the site's hosted by WP Engine, which is pretty awesome to see. The advisors is and I always mess up his name, so I apologize for this. Is it Adai or 80 from WooThemes?
I believe it's 80.
Okay, so 80, you have Carl Hancock as another advisor. But on there before, I think as late as yesterday, you had WP Engine on there. Mr. Yeah. Cohen, a smart bear himself, Jason Cohen was on there as one of the advisors. Now, as of today, that's gone. So that's interesting to see the change in as little as a day or two. So I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, I wonder too.
I don't know why we're not advisors, because we're pretty smart guys, and we talk about WordPress a lot, and we like to drink, so you might as well make us advisors. And my name's Brad, for Christ's sakes. Like, what else? Dude, seriously. you know what, Dre? You really need some sound effects. That was up.
No, that is interesting.
I love the product. I love the idea. It's really cool. I'm anxious to see where this goes in like 6 months.
And I just tested it out, Brad. It does work for me. So I think the problem exists for you between the keyboard and the chair.
Well, it's one of two things. Either A, it's multi-site issue, or B, I'm on localhost. So
mine's multi-site too. Oh, it could be localhost.
It must be localhost.
Sometimes that'll throw it off.
Or I'm localhost, so it must not work with that.
Yeah. It's like we were saying, it's a great idea to be able to one-click buy and install something in the dashboard is something that I feel like we've been talking about the concept of for forever. What I think will be interesting, like you said, 6 months from now, you mentioned the number of brands that are involved. There are a couple, and I don't have them in front of me, but if you look at the list that I published a couple months ago of the people who said they were going to be involved and the people who are actually involved right now, there's a couple missing, which Brad said some, and in this case, Brad Tunar, well, that's his last name, we'll call him Brad 2, WP App Store Brad, said that some of them still needed to get their stuff added in. So, this is a list of sort of the active brands. But I wonder if, do you guys think that the percentage that WP App Store takes of sales could deter some people from being involved? Because it's, it's a 30% take, which is the same as the iOS App Store, and I wonder if that might turn off some brands, at least until it becomes established and has an audience it to could. Be sold to.
I think if it'll turn off any brand, it's an established brand. So right. if it was going to turn off a brand, it would be somebody like Gravity Forms, or mm-hmm. you know, who have they're not on there yet, but Carl's publicly said they are coming. You know, they're getting there.
Well, he's an advisor, so I would assume
their
that
systems.
Yeah,
I would hope so. You know, crowd favorites on there. They obviously have some very big and popular premium plugins. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what like Plugin Buddy does because they're not listed. And they have, in my mind, sure. probably the second most popular premium plugin, which is Backup Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if they actually hop on board. Because it is, you're right, 30%. I mean, that's a lot. But obviously, if you're a startup, 30% to get in front of thousands of people versus 100% and nobody knows who you are, it's
right.
probably worth it. But if you're established, it may not be worth it. So it really depends on like how well you're doing sales-wise. And
sure.
Yeah, you know, Woo Themes is on there. They're a huge, you know, huge theme company. I think I saw a mention of Studio Press was coming. Organic Themes is on there already.
Mm-hmm.
App Themes, you know, these are big theme companies. So,
I think in the
I don't know.
I think in the comments, let me scroll down and find it. Jonathan Dingman commented on the post and said that he chatted with Studio Press and they said they have no interest in joining the App Store. So I don't know why that is.
I haven't spoken. I thought
that was Brian Gardner tweeted that out yesterday publicly saying that Studio Press has no intentions, if I recall correctly, no intentions of being involved there.
Well, it's probably the margins. I mean, 30%, that's a lot. I mean, you know, 30% of what I'm making. And Studio Press has a huge reach. They're
sure.
top three premium theme companies easily. We can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
You know, they have a huge reach. So why give up a little bit of that to pay out 30%? We'll get them in front of people that maybe don't know who they are. It might, but I think this is more valuable for startups, to be honest, like people mm-hmm. who don't have a name. If I was going to launch a premium product and nobody knew who I was, going through something like this would get my name out there. And then if it's a hit, great, I can branch off and maybe do my own thing down the road, but at least it gets me out the door. And that's exactly what Apple's doing. You know, they're getting, you know, someone throws an iOS app out there and makes $1 billion, and all of a sudden everyone knows who they are. You know, who
right.
knew, what was it, Zynga? Who knew them 2 years ago? Nobody, you know?
Absolutely. What's kind of funny about, so because there's a clause on the WordPress.org plugin sort of requirements page, that says that basically disqualifies any sort of the word's not marketplace, that's not the word I'm looking for, but any sort of storefront plugins from inclusion on the WordPress order plugin directory. So I think one of the ironic parts about at least currently the way the App Store functions, because the whole idea is to make it easy so that you don't have to buy something, then download it, then upload it, so it's all for users. But if you want to use WP App Store, you have to download it and upload it and install it as a plugin that way. So it's you know, I kind of chuckled when I saw that was the case. I mean, I understand it, you know, from both sides, both why it wouldn't be allowed in .org and why this is, you know, the other option they have. But it's kind of funny that a service trying to make things easier for that kind of requires a complicated step that not every beginning user who this is targeted at would necessarily be able to stumble through the first time.
And that was something that came up in discussion a couple of weeks ago when we brought it up. And you know, how is this going to go? Is it going to stick? Are you going to gain traction here quickly? Is there going to be, you know, a lot of move, you know, room there for improvement at launch? I think that there is. I think that it's going to be a major challenge to really increase footprint quickly
mm-hmm.
With having those extra steps in there. If it's not as simple as clicking and it rolling forward and then me adjusting the actual specific settings to that thing that I'm loading.
Right.
It's going to be a major hurdle, I think, for it to reach a critical mass.
That's always going to be a hurdle, but there's really no way that will something like this would be allowed on .org.
No,
so
I don't think
there's any way around it.
No.
How can you get around it?
Yeah, you can't. But
it's unfortunate, but I just don't think there's a better way to do it.
You know what, Brad? The real Brad Shady and Ryan and Dre, if they add us to the advisors list, we may consider solving that hurdle for them. But
maybe if my picture's on there and listed as Brad Shady, you know, I might give them a little advice. Maybe, you know, I might name their next product. products.
You are good at that.
So
you are good at that. One of the it was brought up in the comments of my post when I published about the App Store launching. So a couple of people I was kind of surprised to see comment and say, "Man, this should just be in core." And you know, we could spend 30 minutes listing all of the reasons something like this doesn't belong in WordPress core. But suffice it to say, no, it should not. Something like this is always.
It reminds me of, and I don't know the name of it, but there's an app you can install on Android that's kind of like the hacked Android app store, you know, so you can install this app and then you can get to all these kind of hacked apps. And I think there's one for iPhone too. So if you've jailbroken it, there's like an app you can install that allows you to kind of install jailbroken apps or whatever.
Sure.
Obviously, those would never be included in the core of the software. And this isn't necessarily apple to apples. We're not talking about jailbreaking or hacking WordPress, but
no.
It doesn't belong in core, absolutely not. But it sucks you have to download something to get to it, but I mean, I don't think there's any way around that. I think that's how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
They'll figure it out. There's some smart people involved here and some really great products. I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, there are going to be challenges, and I think it's going to be difficult to get to the masses at first. You got a really strong team here with a lot of knowledge and experience. So I think they'll be fine, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
You know, it says something because I fired it up and was playing around with it when they launched yesterday, and I saw a couple of plugins that I didn't know about. I mean, you know, I like to think that I'm pretty well plugged into stuff, but even as I was kind of browsing their themes and plugins, and they have, you know, right now, as you might expect, more themes listed than plugins. But there were a couple things in there. I was like, wait, what's that? I'm not sure I've looked at that before. So already it's a very
providing value.
Exactly. Very, very slick. So excited to see that grow. Let me see. What's our time? Let me thank our other sponsor before we finish the last few topics we have. This is kind of a fun one. I think we even wondered when this would happen a couple of shows back when we were talking about sponsors. It's Raft.io is the second sponsor this week. Just dropped a link into the chat. And they actually haven't launched yet. This is Sean Smith and his team are basically working on a software as a service to help people handle multiple site installs. And they're starting with WordPress, but then they're going to open it up to Drupal, Joomla, and Expression Engine and things like that. But they sounds like they primarily use WordPress, so they're kind of working on we've seen a lot of different ideas for how to solve the problem of managing lots of WordPress installs, particularly when it's not something that multi-site can solve. And so right now it's just a sort of a interest, you know, email collection page at raft.io, but it sounds like before long the solution that they've been working on will be available and will hopefully make it easier for people that are dealing with, you know, dozens, hundreds, even thousands of WordPress sites. So, I feel like just in the last 6 months to a year, people are beginning to recognize this as being something, or at least maybe more and more people are having to deal with it. But it's certainly one of those things that you know, like I said, multi-site can't necessarily solve. You have to almost have your own process for dealing with a slew of WordPress sites. But Raft.io. Something
to
watch.
What constitutes a slew?
Well, I would probably define slew based on whatever the average is between the number of sites that Brad and Dre manage. That would be, we would take that, Brad, you guys do client, well, we both, you guys do client work, like constantly. I'm sure you have at any one time.
It's like in between, it's in between a gaggle and a gaggle.
What was that last word?
He was choking on beer.
Oh, okay.
Gaggle foot.
That was
I'm going with
me censoring myself.
Ah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So. I'm wondering, this is cool. I mean, it's awesome that they're kind of getting the word out there before they launch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if they're using the sponsor we had last week with the pre-launch pages where you fill in your
details.
Actually. And it's like this. And I honestly don't know how to check. I'm like, look at the source to see if it is. It kind of reminds me of it, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were, actually.
Yeah, that would actually be really cool. I love the idea of cross-pollination of sponsors. Why not?
Yes. Sponsors kind of impregnating each other.
That's exactly where I was going, so I'm glad you picked up on that.
Almost like impregnating
I'm just trying to segue the next story.
Yeah, impregnating a theme with scripts. Do you do it with internal, external scripts? How do you do it? So the next piece we're going to get into
is... You're almost
as
good as Frederick.
Yeah, almost.
almost, not quite. Dear theme developers, this is how you add scripts into WordPress themes. Old Mr. Krogsgaard, Brian Krogsgaard, who is a happy member of the WP Candy family, put out a blog post this week around how to properly add that. And some of the discussion around it has been amazing. I was reading through the comments. I mean, one that probably caught most people's eyes was Carl Hancock's piece in there, his comment around why you shouldn't be including external, you know, the jQuery library from an external API, which makes a lot of sense in terms of, let's say, including Google's API and the ever-changing requirements there and what's in WordPress and why you should be using WordPress's included version for long-term usability of everybody that's using your product. What do you guys think about that? I mean, does that make sense to you guys in terms of doing it that way? I've seen it done both ways from different premium shops, whether, you know, plugins, themes, and so on. What's your guys' take on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about using the Google libraries? I mean, specifically that portion of it?
Yeah, I'd like to learn more about what your guys' take on that specifically, using external versus the included WordPress libraries.
I absolutely get the thinking behind using it, and I'd have to double check. I'm not sure. I think I just used the included WordPress one. But in the past, I have tried kind of serving up Google libraries just to see how that improves load time. But I think that as good an idea that is, that's something that the site owner should do. Because that's the change that is more broad than just a specific theme or plugin. That's going to affect everything on your WordPress site. And so I think while it's a great idea, well, caching is a great idea as well, but you shouldn't assume that sort of stuff when you're making a theme or a plugin. You know, that you have to, you know, obviously make it possible for the site owner to tweak things so that they can, you know, run whatever resources they want on their own site. But I think assuming it for them, it's probably true kind of what he pointed out in the comments, that it's probably maybe some people are thinking that it's a good idea and other people are probably just copying and pasting from code they find online and then are doing it without even really realizing the impact of it. What would you say, Brad?
I mean, I think, you know, Carl certainly has a valid point, and I've seen a lot of his tweets and he likes to tweet
a lot.
Okay. All right.
He makes a very valid point, and I think the chat room's got some good stuff going on right now because they're kind of debating do you use WordPress's built-in jQuery or do you use Google's or whatever. What do you use? You know, it's like I feel like there should be if it's that critical, there should be an option. Like, what do you want to use? WordPress's or Google's? Because the chat room's talking about how they've actually saved money on hosting costs and stuff by using Google's because there's faster load times and stuff, which could be true. You know, that sounds like a valid point. I don't have any stats to back that up, but it sounds valid. Mm-hmm. So why not give the user an option? Why not throw an option into your plugin or your theme that says, hey, do you want to use WordPress's jQuery version or do you want to use Google? You know, what do you want to use?
Right. And I would say, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that on that topic, I think if there's any option that themes and plugins should have available, it should be just a simple, checkbox to uncheck to basically disable their output of anything into whether it's the dashboard. Typically, the front end is where I want that because there's a lot into that, but I think that making it possible for the end user to easily, I mean, at the very least, giving them a deregister, or I guess DQ, it would be, whatever resources are being queued up on the site is absolutely essential. But,
this is a great article because not only does it show you how to register a script, how to enqueue a script, the difference between the two, but it also shows you how to do some conditionals around it. And that's a big issue that I have is what you're bringing in. It's where you're bringing in. Like if I go to the homepage and I have an e-commerce, you know, I have a store set up, but it's not on the homepage. And I view source and the homepage is calling like five or six JavaScript files for the store that doesn't even exist on the homepage.
Right.
That's what makes me mad. Like,
yeah,
you know,
including
Jake calling the scripts.
Yeah, you've got a carousel on the homepage, and it's using jQuery and jQuery cycle, and it's It's pegging every single one of your pages across a whole damn site. That's brilliant.
That's my biggest argument. Is like only bring this stuff in when you need it. And I always joke with Brian Gardner because back when he first started doing the Revolution themes, you remember the Revolution themes? Like they're groundbreaking. They were really kind of turn the tide on WordPress themes and magazine themes specifically. But he always used that one rotator, and the rotator was garbage. It looked pretty. It looked real pretty. Like I wanted to sleep with it, but it was not coded nice at all. Like it was like if you look at it, all the JavaScript is on every single page, and it's only on your homepage, you know. And it was like it was just horribly coded, and it was on every theme. And I was like, Brian, man, I blame you for how popular this thing. And it hadn't been updated in like 2 years. It's a plugin. Has not been updated in like 2 years, and every time I see him, I'm like, I blame you. I blame you for all these problems. But it's like, you know, it just goes to quality coding. Understand, if you're going to work with JavaScript, understand the proper ways to do it. This article lays it out very nicely. Always default to what WordPress has. That's the WordPress way. Don't go outside of WordPress without a reason for doing so and calling, you know, some of these libraries from Google when WordPress has them included. That's not a good enough reason. Like if you really want to use Google, give the user an option, or else I have to hack your plugin. If I have to hack your plugin, I pretty much generally stop using it and stop recommending it. You know, learn the right way to do it. It's a great article. Really kind of breaks it down, especially the register versus queuing, which can be a little confusing. But it's short. You know, it's a short article, gets to the point. So check this out.
Awesome. Infinitely important, particularly because it, you know, somebody, I think the first comment on it was, hey, don't we already know this? And the reality is, no, this is not.
It gets back. We talked early on about in the show about awareness, right? That applies to different levels of technology, not just the security piece. It's to this too. This is a huge performance issue, or can be a huge performance issue if done incorrectly. You know, large traffic sites can be crippled by having this, you know, these scripts just running wildly on them. So a very important thing, I think, to consider as a WordPress developer. And you're absolutely right. We need to keep reiterating these types of topics to ensure that people are seeing it and people are using best practices, or at least attempting.
It's what separates the average run-of-the-mill plugins from the elite professional use-it-all-the-time plugins, I think. It's on that list of things. I would
indeed
agree.
Indeed.
Is it time to make my weekly picks on who the pink pony and honey badger are?
Oh, you have new ideas this week?
Hold on. It's going to be
good. I think I've finalized my guesses. I think I know who they are.
Enlighten us.
I don't think you're either one of them, Ryan.
Oh, we finally arrived there. Thank you. Good.
I think we're past that. We're past that.
All right. I'm glad.
I really think the pink pony's Aaron. Aaron Jorvin,
I
think the honey badger is Ryan Duff.
Yes,
that's my call for this week. We need a little intro to that. Brad's call on, you know, and that's the badger. If you didn't know,
yeah, that's not as pleasant. Do you really think in the course of a week your thoughts on it are going to change that much?
Well, I've been thinking about it quite a bit. I had a couple dreams and premonitions, and to be honest, it's all I think about. So I'd like to get this behind me and figure out who the hell it is so I can get past this.
I think assuming that you're correct and that is them, the fact that you are obsessed with it is just going to strengthen
way more
their resolve.
Than I should be.
Yeah.
So I've got a topic.
Now my next one's word.
You're killing me, Brad. Killing me, Brad. Go ahead, buddy.
Fail.
Go ahead.
After you there, Sunshine.
I think he's done.
I had nothing.
He has nothing. Go ahead, Drake.
I got nothing. All right. So just the last couple of days, we've seen a topic that flared up, and it relates to Lisa Satan Wilson. Mm. So she's got an awesome blog that you can go check out, ewebscapes.com/designblog, and we'll get that into the the room here for you. Challenges Lisa ran into a fairly quickly growing web design blog that just happened to be using the exact identical theme as hers. the interesting thing there is that Lisa never released this publicly. Now, after a little bit of checking on the site, a few folks were posting some of the information that they found on there. Some of that being the information found in their style sheet, showing that it was a GPL licensed theme, and it was created by the founder of a place named BooThemes.com. Now, I don't even want you to visit it because it he doesn't deserve any of your traffic, really. What the guy is doing there, he's posting and stealing stuff from all sorts of folks, people at Theme Forest, to you name it, different theme repositories, premium theme repositories. And what he's doing is he's posting a link back to the theme, and he's forwarding that through some pretty questionable redirect websites, leading back to .ru websites, and then ultimately over to the correct repository where the theme is located. But below that, he's also placing download links to illegal downloads of these themes. Now, in Lisa's case specifically, she never released this to the public. This is something that she created for her blog, for her followership, and this guy decided to go ahead and take it and sell it to the folks over at lava360.com. So they're live with this. They've been live with this. She's reached out to them. There's been a bunch of folks in the community that have put this out, telling them, "Hey, look, you're using stolen property. Whether you purchase it or not, doesn't make it right."
Sure.
What it looks like they've done today, they've changed the actual header image, because I'll tell you that they were using her exact header image, short of hot linking from her website. It was an identical replica of her website. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Sure, and the content, of course.
Yeah.
So it looks like they've changed the background image and the header image, but the rest of the stuff looks identical. If you go to their site and you look at Lisa's design blog there, all the posts and the formatting around that, everything's still pretty close. So that's a frustrating thing to me. I mean, as a designer, I've had stuff stolen from me in the past. It's a challenging thing to get them to take it down and that type of thing. But it's even more saddening when it's a community like Lava 360 that's growing pretty quickly. I think they've got somewhere in the range of 70,000 Twitter followers and putting out all this content. And it's a website design, blog, and they're using a stolen blog design. It's a bit hard for me to understand and stomach at the end of the day. So I just want to throw that out there, kind of talk about it a bit and see where you guys' take on it. Have you guys ever experienced someone stealing some of your design or development work for that matter and calling it their own?
Really sucks.
You said design like I'm a designer.
Well, but what about code? I mean, the same thing I think would apply there.
I mean, I don't see it. I haven't seen it a whole lot with design, except I see it constantly. And anybody who I link to from WP Candy will find out quickly how many sites are ripping off the stuff that I write. And what's most frustrating about it, just across the board, I would assume for anybody, is just how it can seem how little you can do about it once it happens. I mean, in my case, I mean, there's no point in bothering chasing after everybody who wants to scrape the site and publish it to a blog. I mean, ultimately, that's not valuable. In this case, it's obviously much worse because it's a popular site. And it's worse because they probably didn't even realize what was happening when they were purchasing it or when they were downloading it or whatever. Obviously we know who's to blame in this situation, but it just, man, that I haven't had.
But where did they purchase it from?
BooThemes.com.
Where?
Boo, themes.com. Oh, I tweeted it out. Yeah, I've tweeted it out a couple times this week because after researching a bit on the site and so on, I found some questionable redirects and different links to some bad – don't post the URL in the room, people. In any event, they're doing some questionable stuff that I would urge any listener that we've got here to steer clear of that. Do not use them. They're not a reputable, trusted source, and in the end – if they're capable of redirecting you to .ru sites for some shady affiliate money, they're probably not going to be stopped at giving you downloads with all sorts of malware and stuff. So,
yeah.
And then that's well beyond what has happened here. And the owner of Boo Themes actually writing in the CSS that he wrote Lisa's theme. So that's pretty classy.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, so obviously the site, and I'm not going to repeat it, is selling it or was selling it, whatever it may be. You know, you look at the site, it looks, if you had no previous knowledge about the site, it looks like, it looks like a regular theme company. But if you scroll down to the bottom, you see a lot of hacky SEO stuff. You know, I'm spiteful. I'm a spiteful bitch. So I would basically go to Google right now and be like, look at this. All these links at the bottom that Magento themes, Magento templates, and they all link to the same place, back to the homepage.
Right.
Boom. That's a violation. I would submit them in a heartbeat and get them kicked off of Google. And they would. If Google saw that, they would kick them off. I would submit them. I would do little petty things like that. I would subscribe them to animal porn. I would, find out who their family is. And I don't know. I'm spiteful. So, obviously there's nothing you can do as far as them stealing your theme. It sucks. It happens. You know, it's terrible. If you're unique, I mean, it goes back to, what is it? Plagiarism is the best form of flattery.
Yeah, it's tough to
swallow.
It's also a pretty shitty
film. I mean, that was very shitty. But it's like you said, like, you're going to chase after them with lawyers, and at the end of the day, you're just going to spend thousands of dollars.
But there's no reason
you can't shame them within the community and within just the internet in general. So that's what I would spend my time doing. I would submit them to Google and say, right now, you're trying to alter the results with this content. And I bet you within a week, Google would take them out.
And you're right, though, Brad. There's not much you're going to be able to do. I've had people steal my stuff in the past, and short of sending them, saying, hey, stop, there's not much you can do. I think the biggest thing that I think pisses me off about this whole scenario is that, one, not only did he steal it and use it, right? Because that could be seen as a form of flattery, but then to go and change the damn, title and the authorship to his and then resell it. Dude, that's some ghetto hood stuff right there, man. No bueno.
Yeah, I mean, like you said with the Google thing, I mean, in the past, like I said, I don't think my design has ever reached the stealable level, but I do write a lot of stuff, so that's usually what gets grabbed. And, I probably spent, back when, probably the first few months of the site when I really started noticing it happening, one thing I would do just in terms of, I guess, courses of action. I mean, I would, first I'd shoot the people an email and just be like, hey, so, basically what the hell? And that was just sort of a templated email that I'd shoot out to a bunch of them. And then honestly, I mean, if they're running Google Ads or, I mean, you can definitely go the route of, reporting them for spammy techniques like this site's doing. But a lot of these sites that are, usually scraping from multiple sources, they don't really care about their site. They're probably running AdSense somewhere. Because that's typically how they can try to. So that's reportable.
I love Ryan's kind of take on this because Ryan's in Indiana. I grew up in Indiana. I spent my whole life in Indiana. When you're in the Midwest, we're nice people. We have manners. We're respectful. He's like, just send them an email. It's like, send them an email. They might take care of it. Yeah, listen, welcome to the internet. Everyone's an asshole. Like, everyone's out for themselves. So it's.
What's crazy is that I would get responses, but there was such a cognitive dissonance going on, or somebody like, oh wow, I didn't, that's awful, I didn't realize that this is somebody else set this up, and nothing would ever change, which it always just kind of amused me that somebody would respond but then not actually change anything about it. But
it's worth starting there, but I would never expect anything come from that.
Worth writing up a 2 or 3 paragraph template to just get your frustrations out, and then, why not shoot that off to them? I mean, it's not going to hurt anything.
It sucks. I mean, and Lisa knows this. I mean, writing books, search any one of our books,
man.
And PDF or download, you'll find it within the first 5 results of Google, and you can download it. I certainly hope you don't do that, but you can. It's not that hard, and our books are DRM free. I mean, it's out there. Like, there's you can report it, and we report them to Wiley and Rocks and whoever is your publisher. But at the end of the day, there's just too much to fight. So it's kind of like you hope the people that get something from it or respect what you're doing will actually pay for it to support you. You'd expect it's a little different. Obviously, we're talking about design versus like an actual property, but. Design in an aspect is the property, so it's just a little bit different. But it's at the end of the day, it's going to be very, very frustrating. It's going to keep happening.
Right.
It would be great if they hot linked some of her images so she could swap those into,
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That's what I did.
Like pictures of Dre's face or something.
No, let's not do that. I don't need myself on a spammy site like
that. Yeah, you don't want that. That would be bad for you and your business.
But the guy that did end up, he was hot linking a lot of my stuff, and he ended up with some pretty vulgar stuff served to his visitors. And that's just an age of the beast. You're going to steal my stuff. Stand by. You're not going to like the content you're going to be serving inevitably.
Well, that's the thing. If somebody's out there willing to cut corners and steal from people and do stuff like that, they're probably – I mean, it's – you can almost expect them to make a stupid mistake like that. Like, they're not going to steal intelligently. You know what I mean?
Well, at the end of the day, moral story is Boo Themes, BOOThemes.com. Stay away from it. They're shady and they suck.
Bad news. Awful. Awful, awful stuff.
They suck.
a website that doesn't suck, hey, however. How's that for a transition for you guys?
Very awesome.
QueryPost.com. Which is a new...
What'd you call me?
Drop that in the chat.
It's that time of the show.
Oh, it's like 2 minutes into the show, it was that time of the show. But QueryPost...
I love it.
QueryPost.com, you know him as Rarst. His real name, Andre... And I don't know how to last... Andre S, I'll say. But people call him Rarst in the WordPress community. And QueryPost is... sort of a cool resource of searchable WordPress functions. It's pretty slick. Have you guys toyed around with it at all yet? It's one of those kind of...
I have not. This is the first I've heard of it, but I'm kind of clicking around, and it looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like a good resource. So does he have like a script in place or something that actually indexes the versions of WordPress to abstract this info, or how does he do it? Or do we know?
You know, I don't know how he's putting it together. It says, let's see, created by R, powered by WordPress, using Hybrid Core, Bootstrap, and Liquid Webs. Okay, that doesn't actually say, you know, anything beyond. So I don't know exactly. I don't know where he's kind of grokking all the info from, but it's kind of cool. Links to WordPress Track and GitHub for the functions, which is pretty useful. That'd be something that honestly would be useful to have added to just the codec search for functions. But kind of neat.
Awesome sauce.
Gonna look it through. I mean, it's I'd be curious to see how he's doing this, because obviously with the php.comments, you know, a lot of this stuff you can just kind of extract from WordPress core. And it looks like he's kind of doing that. But what's interesting, and I've seen other sites do similar stuff, is that it formats it in a way that's kind of easier to digest. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the php.comment, and it has all the info you need, but it's not necessarily the easiest thing to digest. Whereas this is nice, because it has kind of they call it a signature or whatever, and it shows a demo of how to use it. And then it shows the various parameters and the you know, the data types, a string or int or whatever it may be. Shows what it returns, and shows a little bit of the source where it's found at. And then has various ways to link to it and how to find it in Track. And GitHub, which is cool. This is neat.
It might blow your mind, Brad, but do you see the Honey Badger bot in the chat room?
Yes.
You can directly converse with.
Oh boy.
But he is useful. He said he pointed out that he's parsing the PHP doc comments, which is
that
actually awesome, because that's the PHP doc.
Honey Badger.
Gotta give you a minute.
Hey, shit just got real.
Oh boy. But I was just gonna say that, as anybody knows,
go ahead, finish your thought.
Right. As anybody knows, the best place to learn how WordPress works is to read the source code. And what's nice about search tools like QueryPost.com is that it's parsing the PHP doc within the code itself to pull out the useful information. Because that's, I mean, the codex is always going to be one step behind PHP doc, and sometimes more than one step.
Sure.
You know, depending on...
And there's been discussion of fixing that, you know, making more automated kind of codex, you know, systems in place that would kind of index that type of stuff. Because it's all there. It's all in the source for the most part. Most functions, almost every function, or every important function, I should say, is documented. You know, the input, the output. So a lot of smirking going on over there, a lot of laughing. Not watching video. Ryan's over here having a history.
You made John kill himself in the chat. That's all.
Who?
J Trip.
I'd like to shoot people in the chat.
Yeah. But so really cool little tool at querypost.com. Just wanted to kind of mention that for those interested in using cool new stuff like that.
Man, that's cool that we got double J in the room now that he's losing J's because of you, Brad.
I just pewed a J off.
At what point we have negative really J's? Pewed a J? So I wanted to say that before the show completely breaks down, that if you're listening on the stream or to the podcast, you definitely don't want to miss next week, because Otto from WordPress.org and AutoPress.com fame, you probably are using one of his plugins if you don't know who he is, but he will be a guest host on next week's episode of WP Late Night. This just shows you his priorities. He could have been here this week, but this is barbecue week where he is.
Yes.
And if you're not using one of
his plugins, you suck, and you should be. So get them now.
Seriously, that's good stuff.
And we have a quick sound clip of Otto actually moderating plugins as they come in. Get it out of here. Just kidding. Please come.
That just happened, folks.
So that'll be next week's show at 8 p.m. Eastern. What would that be? What is that UTC? J-Trip, he's always on UTC time. He'll tell us what that is. But anyway.
We're Zulu -5, I think.
There you go.
Very exciting. Yeah, it'll be nice to chat it up with Otto next week. That'll be good.
Did we actually make it through the whole list?
That is it. That is the entire set of discussion topics for the night, which is perfect. Because we got through them all. It's not a crazy long show. We kind of hit our target that we talked about before. And I think that does it, right? Anything else you guys wanted to add?
Well,
I'd like to point out that my sound effects scared Lisa's bird. I'm happy.
Yeah,
about
I think
that.
Let's do our tip of the week before we go.
Oh, please do. Please give me a tip, Dre.
Well, I'm going to go with a plug-in this week, which is uncharacteristic because I was kind of against that whole thing. I wanted to do just kind of a tip in general,
sure,
if you will. But I am going to recommend the AdSanity plugin. AdSanityPlugin.com, and it's got some really nifty features for you. It's a light rotator plugin for ads on your WordPress instance. Very easy to set up. It's got some ad widgets, some different publishing options, some pretty cool reporting features, and also some add-ons with a developer API. So check it out when you get an opportunity. That is my tip of the week.
Very cool. Brad, did you have one?
Sure. No, but I just came up with one. So,
so we know it's a quality tip.
This type of stuff. the quality is about as much you expect.
Mm-hmm.
So my tip of the week, or my showcase of the week, or whatever we're calling this, we need a little intro music, like a name for this segment. Tip
bar
of the week,
tricks.
Something like that. We need a little segment to get us warmed up, you know?
Bar tip.
Anyway.
Bar trick.
Sorry. This is just my... I like to say what we should do in the middle of the show. Anyway,
my
tip of the week is actually a plugin or widget, if you will, released by Automatic and the theme team over there.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like this music.
I can give you something.
My tip of the week is the monster widget.
The theme team over there built and released
a monster widget. Monster widget. I need a sound effect for that. So basically, it sounds like...
I think he's -4J now, if I had to guess.
Anyways, it consolidates the 13 core widgets into a single widget. So you can enable it on any theme, right? And you get all your widgets, bam, right there in one spot. So you don't have to add all your widgets to your sidebar and then style them. If you're working on a theme or whatever, testing out your theme styles. You just grab the monster widget, throw it over, and it has all core widgets right there in your sidebar. You can style all of them in one shot, which I think is great because I'm sure if you're a designer or you've been around that area, you know how it is. If you release a theme or a design, you basically have to test all those widgets to see how they're going to work with your styles. So this is cool. It just combines them all into one big monster widget.
I think you got him. I think you got him good.
I think you killed him twice. That's awesome.
I hope I didn't kill the monster widget, but I just scared him away.
Yeah. And my tip would be, because I just got into a conversation about social stuff again the other day, and despite, if we're assuming Aaron Jorben is, what did we say he was? What's our guess right now?
He's the pink pony.
He's the pink pony.
Aaron's pink pony, Ryan's the badger, and you're word prey.
No, I'm not. I'll never get out from under these fake memes that I apparently run. My tip would be, because I'm on... about every 3 months, I go on a cycle of removing or adding social stuff to my site. And right now, I'm on the end of the cycle that is removing it. And so my tip would be if you have, I'd say, more than two like ways of socially interacting with a post on your blog, deeply reconsider that. Just because it can quickly become unnecessary and overwhelming. And I think I would... my tip would be, I guess, just to reconsider how necessary that stuff is. Because it can be a lot of clutter. It can be a lot of stuff to load on your site. And if you're doing cool stuff, people will probably find a way to share it with others. So that's my tip. And I mentioned Aaron because when I do social stuff, I obviously use the Add This plugin, which is where he works, the plugin that he supports and the service that he supports, which is really cool. And that's another kind of side tip, I guess. Check that out. But that's it for me. And I think that's it for all of us. Right?
That'll about wrap it up.
Survived another. So next week, I mean, we're hitting the big 10. Like, I feel like we need 10. Birthday cakes and shots and fizzy pops. And
come on. This is why we have Ottawa.
10. That's
perfect timing to have Ottawa.
Pretty sure everyone was betting against us. I know I was.
I know. Yeah, I think including us. So that's pretty interesting.
It seems like we. I think we got to a big number being 10 faster than I thought we would. It feels like it just ran up on us. I was looking at the numbers, like, oh wow, next week's 10. That's crazy.
Mega gigabytes, son.
Yeah, exactly. Before long, we'll be.
Got a nice ring to it. So next week will be epic. Make sure you come back so you can blow out some birthday candles with us.
I guess every day I'm shuffling. We'll all have to have our own birthday cake. I mean, how's that going to work? We'll figure something out.
Well, I think we take
a
shot.
I'm just trying to make a cake and eat it myself.
We can definitely do some. We'll do some shots next week. Maybe we'll push that to the end of the show. But
yeah, no, I'll definitely do the end of the show. But I think we take some celebratory birthday shots. The 10th episode, WP Late Night next week with Otto as our guest.
I think we can.
Dre, are you guys good?
I think we're good to go, and I think we'll have no problem convincing. Convincing Otto to be a part of that.
Otto's kind of awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. Thanks to the chat room and everybody for listening, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Salud.